Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
All season long, we've been bringing you the series Smart Coaching with Dr. Garrity and Dr. Kuklick, and today we are in our final episode in this series for the 2018 season, and we're going to focus on athlete transitions. When I think of athlete transitions, I go back to every year at our banquet at BW, our defensive coordinator would stand up and talk to our players about that and give a message, especially to the players he coached. And one of the main things he mentioned is that, you know, what they've learned there and the habits they've learned need to carry on into the other parts of their life. And he especially mentioned that the physical fitness part he wanted them to carry on, that that was something important to him and that they can't just let themselves go now that football is over. So joining me today, as always, are our guest hosts, Dr. Brian Garrity and Dr. Clayton Kuklick. Guys, great to be here in the last of this series. I appreciate everything you guys have done all season long.
Thanks, Keith. Yeah, it's been a great series of podcasts and looking forward to wrapping it up here with some athlete transitions, an interesting topic per se. It's a little bit different, I would think, in comparison to maybe some of the other podcasts that we've covered so far. But yeah, certainly an interesting and useful topic here.
Yep. Thanks again, too, Keith, for having me back. I'll let the cat out of the bag. We're going to have an overtime podcast, and we're going to go into a seven overtime, and we're going to do this for another couple months and see how that goes.
Another couple months.
Seven overtime. We've got to go. I'm not going to be shown up by LSU and A&M.
Well, good point.
This is a really important topic, too, like you start off with one athlete and the coach, you know, or the coach talking about transitions and physical fitness. We want to think about physical, you know, the character, the social, the psychological aspects, all of it as we're, you know, working with people in real life and thinking about how to help athletes succeed. And it sounds good just to talk about it and to preach it, but the reality of it is it's a lot harder. And what can we do better as a coach and organization to facilitate, you know, the growth and development, you know, what I might call really just the education of these young people that we're working with, so that way they can hopefully make good choices and affect the society and the workplaces and elsewhere, because all of these things start to intersect, and you can't just preach, you know, again, work hard or take care of yourself. It's just not an effective strategy. It's not a good intervention, so to speak.
Yeah, well, the challenge is, too, for a coach, right, is some of these athletes are no longer going to be with them anymore, so it's not someone they're perhaps going to see on a regular basis in school, in the classroom. Maybe they're moving on either to college or to industrial work or a trade school or something to that matter in some cases. And in the college level, they're moving on to their job and moving on with their so-called life. And that's probably even a different transition. High school athletes have a different transition where they may be looking forward to college or whatever, and then the collegiate athlete, what's really next for them, and how do we stay in contact perhaps with some of those athletes? You know, go back to the core beliefs and values. We're saying these things, then what happens after the four-year period? Are we really upholding that value and mission that we have to develop lifelong athletes or lifelong people that are key contributors to society?
When I think of the season ending, as coaches, the one season ends, and pretty quickly we're up with that next group and we move on. And in a lot of ways, I always felt like those seniors, those guys graduating from our program who have the rest of the school year, I mean, they're kind of cut loose, right? We don't expect them really, nor do we want them in the weight room anymore with the team, because this is a new team. We might not see them as often as we did before, because we're seeing them every day during practice. Prior to that, we're seeing them throughout the week in the off season in the weight room. And now all of a sudden, it's like a dead stop. Like, it's over. It's a hard stop for those guys. And it's a struggle, I think, for the athlete. It's a struggle for the coach. You have that relationship. You want to see that guy. Sometimes you might see him at the end of the day walking into the parking lot at the school and, you know, not have that interaction with them all day long because they're just in a different part of the building or whatever. And I always thought that was pretty tough and never really completely knew how to handle those things, although I did get quite a bit into some exit interviews and talking with athletes out of that, but I always felt this was an area where I didn't have all the answers and something in which I can improve. But I think, again, going back to that is like when you're thinking about the priorities of developing yourself as a coach, you usually focus on the season and that next group. But I think this is an area we need to address. And I specifically think back to my time as a high school athlete and then going on to college. And, you know, in college, I tore up my knee and football ended, you know, and I had a tough time transitioning from, you know, being that athlete and having all those things to do in training to moving on to the next phase of my life. So I understand how important this is.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a good example, Keith, of in the literature. I know Brian touched on some of the things. It's like more beyond, it's beyond the physical thing and staying physically active. And we can talk about some of those things, some different opportunities to stay active in sport and particular in football. But the thing that kind of resonated with me with your story was a change in identity, really, with you. And Bri talked about, you know, some of the psychological implications beyond, again, the physical. And I think that identity piece, that change in identity and learning how to understand yourself and understand that identity change is important, and how we go about and how a coach perhaps can facilitate that process. But Bri, maybe, I don't know, what kind of negative implications, and Keith, maybe you can talk about maybe some, I don't want to say horror stories, but maybe some negative implications that you've seen over the years with athletes making that transition. Certainly some are positive, but there's also those other ones that are negative that maybe we can do something about in relation to that transition.
Well, I would impart so a couple of things. I'm thinking of, Keith, in terms of, you know, the structure and the organization, trying to wrap your head around and making sense of this kind of thing too. I really like to map things out a bit and start to write and diagram things, you know, look at logic models or flow charts a bit to help me make sense of things and to see a little bit what are some of the issues, right? In academia, we might call this kind of theorizing or concept mapping, you know, and you're starting to kind of see the relationships amongst the different parts. So, you know, start to hone in a little bit, make some sense of it. So let's look at maybe freshmen, eighth graders to freshman year coming in, or maybe freshmen in college coming in. And that's one of the things that higher education researchers have focused on for many years now is transitions into college. And we know that that can be a very challenging period. And so colleges have changed support systems, classes. They've tried to address these things to improve retention rates, you know, for first-year students. We can look at some of the literature on that with sports coming into a new team. You could think about people transitioning in from out of town, coming into your team, and they might be sophomore, junior, senior, you know, any level. Somebody transferring in from another university could have year-to-year transitions, you know, the freshman to sophomore, sophomore to junior. You know, that freshman to sophomore year is, again, something that people have studied and focused on because that appears to be another kind of critical period, that the first year is the toughest. Then the second year, and by the time they get to their junior year, they've got a lay of the land. They know the rules of the game, you know, just like a junior on the team. They kind of figure things out. Another transition could be those seniors. That's really what I was thinking more or less when we identified wanting to talk about athlete transitions. So another category would be like those seniors that are leaving. So that way you don't, and I'll focus on one particular aspect. So I think mapping out, again, different possible scenarios of transitions and seeing what are those critical issues at that time. What are the structures in place? What are the relationships? What are the issues? With seniors, and, you know, I'll throw this out there. There's a good paper here, a guy named Luke Jones now over in the UK. He's in England. He was up in Canada doing his PhD. He did a study on athlete transitions, and he looked at, you know, how, and we've talked about disciplinary practices and coaching in general is often very authoritative. You know, coaches are constantly blowing the whistle. There's different periods. They're moving guys around very rapidly, you know, to try to teach them the skills and enhance performance. That's kind of the common or dominant ways that coaches practice. And so what happens then, too, is after they graduate, or even if they do graduate or get out of there, they're so used to having somebody tell them what to do, and their schedule is so tightly scheduled that they don't have the opportunity to make decisions, to have that support system, sometimes we call it, I would say also a disciplinary system, you know, that structured practice schedule and class schedule. And now they're kind of out on their own, and you go, oh, how come they haven't, you know, they're not doing very well? Well, they haven't had an opportunity to practice those things. So, again, if we can go back to how we're actually practicing and what we're doing week to week and how we're explicitly teaching young people about what they're learning and how to transfer those skills as well. So not only do we need to look at the structure of our practices and what we're doing with our in-season time and off-season time, but then talking about transferability and helping people make those connections, because people have a hard time transferring skill from one place to the other place. And even elite level athletes that are so physically talented and then highly coached that can physically almost do anything still have a hard time with physical fitness for a variety of reasons. But it physiologically and biomechanically and motor skill wise, it doesn't make sense that they should have a problem. So there's other, you know, psychological issues,
even just getting into the weight room and knowing what are my reps and sets for today,
right,
and what's my objective with the physical activity, which might bring in another point is a coach with those transitions might be providing some opportunities to stay active where you could perhaps get some of that structure. For example, I mean, even in the literature now we're seeing some more of the a focus on adult athletes, and we think sometimes that once, you know, our high school career's over, that, oh, we didn't make it to college, there's not an opportunity for me to play collegiate football, so that means it's kind of over. And then vice versa with collegiate athletes, it's over. But I don't think that has to always be the case. And football is a little challenging because it is very physical in nature. But, I mean, there are flag football league for adults. I would also argue that perhaps the rigorousness of weight training and strength and conditioning, some athletes may be afforded opportunities to go into powerlifting and weightlifting competitions to get that competitive, you know, twist, and a little bit of structure there, and still get a little bit of coaching if they go down that route. And those might be opportunities to, again, engage that lifelong physical activity thereafter, is perhaps providing some of those opportunities.
I see that as an area where it does become difficult, and you think of the structure for these athletes, and you think of really the competition that we build into everything, and, you know, even the weight room is competitive. And so you go from this hyper-competitive environment and way of life and lifestyle into something where, you know, there isn't necessarily the next season you're preparing for or the next game you're preparing for, and you're not competing to have your name up on a board anymore as you know, one of the best lifters or whatever it might be. You know, some of the extrinsic, I guess, motivation is gone, or really what was focused intrinsically on something else, that it's just not there anymore. So you do have to find a way to refocus. And I know making that transition out of it, and, you know, going from some major surgeries into then, you know, finishing the rehab, you know, which was a positive thing for me. But then when that was done, it was like, oh, what do I focus on now? How do I work out? Is it this, you know, am I doing the same things before and as before? That it is difficult. And I guess as a coach, you know, maybe there is something we can do to provide for these guys something to transition out of it, whether it's giving them a workout for the next several months. And I think the athletes who struggle most are the ones who, when that football season is over, don't have a winter or a spring. And just thinking back to some of the things you said with that lack of structure and where everything for them was kind of directed before, now they're left out on their own. And there are those times after school now that, you know, it's not accounted for. And I do see some kids getting into trouble, maybe doing some things that they just didn't have the time for before, or maybe they would stay away from. So I think, you know, there's some things there too that we do want to be conscientious of that, and essentially help these guys transition out of that so that they're directing their time wisely.
Yeah. Keith, were you referring to, like, replacing this time that was initially spent with football, weight training, with other things that, or other types of behaviors that might be less positive?
Yeah,
to
less
some
degree,
drugs, alcohol.
Right. I mean, there is. I mean, hey, there's that peer pressure, especially at the high school level. There's just kids doing that to them. Maybe you steered away from them. You got a class with them. I don't know. You just sometimes I think those kids lose the focus. I've seen it before, and have had to help some of those kids before. So it's just a difficult part of it.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be a weird thing, right? Because it's not normal. But that's the whole point, is that if you spend some time having group meetings or quick chats, taking a few minutes out of the weight workout for the week, and start talking about, you know, kind of life lesson really type of stuff. Do some philosophizing. You know, educate young people about you know, what's going on in their life, what do they see, create some meaning for what they're doing, practice self-care in the sense of, you know, yeah, you're going to have these things come up, and here's how we want you to respond to it, and, you know, what are some of the obstacles that are going to come up, and how are you going to address it? You know, how are you going to address the peer pressure? How are you going to address, you know, free time and all the choices now that you do have to make, and what are you going to do with that?
I mean, do you think that's something that, like, you could plan ahead for, perhaps, like, in the season, perhaps, like, having some segments where there are some choices there or there's some educational piece? I mean, certainly even in the weight room, I could see definitely, well, any of them, really. I guess if you understand a little bit more about how and why you're doing perhaps certain things, you may get a little bit more meaning, or you're taking some more choices and understanding how and why you're perhaps doing some things. Might be things that you can bed regularly across the season, so that when they get to the end and they lose that the normal structure, it's not as bad as a complete drop off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, for me, a lot of that I think is involving athletes in decision making, allowing more flexibility at times, and not only the, you know, workouts, but then perhaps the practice itself, more time for self reflection, you know, guided discovery, self discovery. Yeah. You know, using so-called classroom assignments and things to stimulate somebody to go about it, challenging them with other meaningful aspects, and not just doing it for the sake of kind of role-playing, but the things that are actually going to affect the team rules and the flow of activities and, you know, how they're going to go about their workouts.
Yeah.
But then some type of plan as well for, you know, critical self-awareness and creating who you are, addressing some of those barriers. I think of, like, an athlete, too. You know, I had several athletes when I coached say, you know, I really didn't come here to go to school. I came here to play football. And that's really a horrible thing. And whether it be football or baseball or anything else, I had other guys say that too. And, you know, you just think that you're really missing out on the whole educational experience. If sports becomes transactional and we're just playing this to go get a scholarship or go make it to the next level or go make a paycheck, then even if they do make it, they're still not educated. Yeah. You know, so how do we go about, you know, educating and getting people to educate themselves about the world, you know, their community, their workplace, and what are they going to do about that? And I think that involves probably more talking and more journaling and more, you know, discussion about those things and not pretending just like it's just going to happen kind of on its own.
Yeah.
Well, I'm leaving it chance.
I think that word you used, transactional, really describes maybe what it feels like for those guys who, like I said, we're not going to, you know, not playing in college. This is a hard stop right now, because a lot of times when you look at it, those are the guys who you lose touch with as a coach a little bit quicker. The guys who are going to go on to college, they're leaning on you for recruiting. They're leaning on you maybe to be able to prepare to play at the next level physically, you know, still leaning on you for guidance in that area. It's those guys who are transitioning out of being an athlete and going on to just being a student in college, not a student athlete, or maybe even going on to their careers. And I don't know. I mean, as we're talking about this, it's, you know, we're really good at coaches at formalizing our year-long calendar, you know, for everybody in our program. Are there things you know of where coaches have done this, where they've found a way to, I guess, provide some kind of transition period for their athletes, especially those ones who are done with football or are done with their particular sport? Are you guys aware of any of those, or aware of any coaches that have done that?
I say done it thoroughly or extensively or kind of intentionally, not so much.
Yeah, and I would maybe add some subtle rituals. Maybe I'll give you an example. Thanksgiving Day game in Pennsylvania was a very big game for the teams that weren't, could be a playoff game or not, but typically that day was a day where the alumni came back and played a game actually before the normal game. It was a flag game, but whatever. The point was just still bringing some of those alumni back together. That might be a strategy perhaps to use and keep it. And maybe other strategies might be involved with, you know, just trying to stay in touch. But the problem is, you think about a football team, there's 75, could be up to 100 athletes in there, losing 30 or 40 every year. What's an efficient way, and not just reaching out to people just for the sake of doing it, but actually have a meaning behind it and still continuing with those relationships and the mentoring and the you know, and it also doesn't happen overnight either. You know, that sometimes those things last for a couple years before people can learn how to understand their new identity and where they're going, how they're going about doing it.
The group communication, but
the rituals.
The rituals, so the continuity.
Okay.
So with the group, I think it's important to remember too that what happens too when groups come together, especially alumni and old guys that play together, you know, some of the norms now become unhealthy. Having a few too many beers, or they go out and they get in fights. You know, and that stuff happens, that they're hanging out and encouraging each other to do some things that they shouldn't be doing either. So looking at the group norms and having strong leadership that can facilitate, you know, what we're going to do and what we're not going to do and still do it the right way. Nowadays, I think the communication piece can be facilitated through, you know, social media, internet, email, chat rooms, listservs, group text messaging apps, and that kind of stuff. And then it made me think of the last point, too, was the continuity, Keith. And I think this is part of the challenge is that, you know, when coaches are coming and going sometimes so quickly, and of course they're evaluated oftentimes on wins and losses, that to develop the infrastructure to do something like this, although I think we would all agree that it's really highly essential and would be lead to some good outcomes. A lot of coaches nowadays are forgoing, you know, let's say the strength conditioning piece, or they're forgoing this, you know, career character building piece, you know, period, putting it off to the strength coach, or if they have a, you know, director of operations or alumni relations. Some of the universities are starting to hire kind of those people. If you're at a high school, and how do you kind of do this stuff? Can you work with a school counselor? Can you have other support people in place, an assistant coach perhaps, and have the continuity too at the same place to really build up a program? You know, and it's probably a long-term commitment to really build it up and have it be thriving. It'd be great to see. It'd be great to see, you know, alumni relations help with that too. And I think you got to keep athletics then integrated with academics at least at the university level to make it happen.
Yeah. When you were talking about the alumni engagement and when you started chatting, I did see another type of program where alumni had one person to mentor type thing. It was a mentorship. But, I mean, there's some problems with that you have to kind of troubleshoot on the front end with who's being paired with an alumni mentor and how that relationship is going to work. But essentially, that was the idea, though, was pairing alumni with new players or players that are still in the program and developing that mentorship type thing so that those alumni are still involved, perhaps as a way to facilitate a new identity to some degree by still staying involved and kind of transitioning with mentoring youth athletes from the program as perhaps another strategy.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, you bring up some key points there. The idea seems great to be able to have some kind of, I guess lack of better terms, formalized program for your athletes to transition out of it. The challenge is, again, we wear so many hats as coaches. We're so focused on our other team. I mean, is it assigning a coach to it that is your responsibility, you know, to drive that when the season ends? And, you know, I don't know that it needs to be very intense. I think it's something that essentially kind of provides some kind of check-in for those guys, a chance to get together, some scaffolding essentially to be able to direct these guys into being able to operate independently, being able to operate without all those intense schedules and expectations. And how do you now go out and you've learned to be successful, you've learned to be goal-oriented, now go out and do that on your own without having all the other things that drive you to do it?
I think you could probably put together a fairly simple plan too. If you had, again, you know, you're sitting there in the off season now, coach is making a transition himself into the off season, you know, thinking about what they're going to do better and plan differently. If you created an Excel spreadsheet, just had a spreadsheet of different kind of ways you're going to engage athletes and, you know, have them develop the character and the psychosocial skills, you know, what are you going to look for? You know, build out a simple kind of spreadsheet and have a little rubric or something like that. And then every year they've got their folder, they come in, they check it off, and you're looking and you're assessing to see how they're doing these things. And then when they graduate too, I mean, at that point you could have your seniors or whoever's graduating, you know, put some of them in charge of it as well, and just doing simple things and growing that over time. I don't think it has to be it's not going to fix it. Sometimes we look for the panacea, you know, what's the magical elixir that's just going to fix it for good. And it could just be, hey, let's create a resource, a handout for how to compete in masters or adult fitness. You know, here's different clubs about they're doing this kind of stuff in organizations. And a lot of athletes get out of it. And the next thing you know, I've known a few people that, you know, sports, and then they become like bobsledders or Olympic losers.
Yeah.
You know, they try something else and they turn out they're really good at it too, and they're strong.
Yeah. I would say that rugby might be another segue to, because rugby has a very huge population of adult participants that can compete very high levels.
So it doesn't take a whole lot of effort to put together a simple handout on those things and at least have it available and then distribute and communicate that out. Another one could be, we're talking about physical fitness, how to take care of injuries, rehabilitation, you know, and healthcare. You know, that's something, right, we don't really talk about, but how to maintain health coverage. Because if we're talking about high school or college person, that's one of the biggest things that could bankrupt them right out the gate, too. If they have a medical illness or surgery or something happens, they don't have health insurance.
Or something related to sport, even football.
Yeah.
I mean, thereafter, I mean, just ailing injuries. I mean, Keith even mentioned his story.
Yeah. Well, and that's, look at it comprehensively, too. The organizations can support that as well and, you know, provide for physical therapy, provide workouts for people, and even do the surgeries after the fact or provide for, some of them have the money. They just don't allocate it for that too, because once they're gone, they kind of wash their hands of it. You know, so that's, again, a structural thing. It's more of a societal thing that we can address and look at.
Mm. Well, it's interesting. I think as you go up those levels, and I don't know it's as much for the college. I feel like a lot of those college kids do get prepared to move on. But then it seems like those ones who transition into the higher level, into the NFL, a lot of those guys have struggles coming out of it, especially with managing the finances. I did a podcast with Freddie Kiaho, who was a linebacker in the NFL. I believe he played in a Super Bowl. But, you know, Freddie is actually working on that right now. That's part of what he does, and some of his work that he's doing is to help players transition from, you know, that, like you said, it's a complete change in really who you are as a person as well. You're in a different role now when you leave that. And I think it probably gets amplified as you go up those levels of how much you have to work to transition out of some of those things, probably more on the psychological side than anything.
I think it's a great piece about, you know, transitioning financially, as well as, you know, if you're looking at somebody that doesn't make it to the NFL, that financially isn't going to be making, you know, six or seven figures, and also helping that other group of people that are coming out of college and are going to make maybe $30,000 to $50,000 in their first couple of years out of college, and maybe for the rest of their lives, some of them. You know, how do you handle a budget? How do you eat properly, or how do you, you know, when you've been trained to, you know, eat to grow muscle and perform, how do you also make different transitions for health and those types of things? So those are things can be embedded too. Like, you can take a team grocery shopping. I just saw yesterday on some social media page, University of Denver hockey team was learning how to cook. They had a nutrition chef person or somebody in, you know, trying to teach the young guys how to use a skillet and cook some vegetables, I saw in the picture.
Yeah, and some of the other educational videos on muscle contractions, exercises that are engaged, XYZ muscle groups, those just small educational little videos help with that transition.
It's building like a resource bank and helping educate people about, there's the muscles that you have been working, and now that you're not going to power clean 300 pounds or squat 600 pounds, you know, here's how to take care of your knees and back and shoulders in other ways too.
Yeah.
Because that's the difference in strength conditioning, Keith, too, that, you know, when we write program designs, when we write it for athletes, they have very specific needs. And so it's a little bit easier to tailor the program for them. When you talk about lifetime fitness, or we use the word periodization to talk about peaking and how to alter the reps and sets, for general fitness, it doesn't really carry over very well because it's so wide open.
Yeah, what are you peaking for?
Yeah, you're not. Yeah, you're
peaking so I can wash my back a little bit more efficiently or whatever.
So I can throw the ball or, you know, go out and don't slip on the ice. I tell you, I'm going to get distracted. I'm thinking about the ice and the snow out in Denver, and I feel like an old man every time I shuttle my feet across the driveway.
Did you break your hip yet?
Oh, my gosh. You talk about, I thought I was doing that. I swear, I was shuttling my feet. I said, you know what? You can probably tell the difference between a young person and somebody who feels old. Because when you feel old, and I'm not that old, I'm not even 40, but when you feel old, you're very aware of, if I fall, it's going to hurt for about a month. You know, watch us.
We got to get you back on the agility set, Coach.
You know what I mean? You got to give me some rubber floaties.
And then we can do that too as well. No, but I think it's a good point is considering both the physical and the psychological aspects and thinking about those transitions, embedding them with a plan that the transition's going to happen. So how perhaps during the season, during our off season, we can kind of embed some of those decision-making and bridge that gap to, if we're developing character, let's say it's discipline, what does discipline really mean in football? And what does discipline really mean when life changes or when that transition occurs and what that actually entails, and helping to bridge those gaps between those character things and lifelong physical activity and understanding what you're doing and how you're doing it.
Guys, I think this is a good point to transition out of this podcast series. And it's another great topic. This is very important today, something we don't think about enough. But I appreciate, like I said, everything you guys have done this season to share with coaches. I think a lot of great ideas and conversations have come out of this. I want to thank you for all your time, and for the coaches out there. If you do have some kind of a transition plan, if there's something you do, please share it with us. Get everybody's contact information here one last time. But again, guys, thanks for all you do for the game.
Thanks, Keith. It was good, long, nice, awesome season that we had on the podcast. And I'd love to hear some more ideas about coaches that are actively putting together plans for athlete transitions at whatever level. But please reach out at Dr. Cook, KUK14 on Twitter, and also the email address, Clayton.Kuklick, KUKLICK at DU.EDU.
Yep, I'm just at Dr. Garrity, and then Brian.Garrity at DU.EDU. I appreciate it, Keith. I mean, it was great to be able to, on our end as well, to prepare for these things, look at some research across a variety of topics and suggest some things that we thought were important, you know, and hopefully offer some new insight, some things that were kind of off the wall as well, and give people a variety of things to, you know, improve upon and just keep getting better at. And that's all we're trying to do too. I mean, none of us, and we sometimes people pretend like we're at the university or professors, like we got magical answers, and there is no secret sauce. So the secret is to try to read and think deeply, and, you know, go about your business and get better and look at alternative ways of doing it. And, you know, that's what we're trying to teach our students, and that's what we try to practice ourselves, I think, and help everybody out and do those things. And it's a lot to deal with, and you prioritize and hopefully hitting the mark. And at the end of the day, you are doing good with a lot of people, and don't ever give up hope and just keep on chugging away. So we appreciate you and the facilitation of the podcast and the great dialogue.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.